Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Jeff Capel right here on the Fan Morning Show. Good morning, Jeff. How's everything?
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
We're doing good. Well. Thank you very much. Okay, cliched question number one that you get after a game like this. What did you learn at the KFC Yum Center? What did you learn in this game against Louisville about your team?
What did I learn? I'm not sure I learned anything that I didn't already know. I thought we fought. I thought we put ourselves in a position where we were in the game late in the second half, under 10 minutes. It's a two-possession game. It's a five-point game, and we have a lot of momentum. And then there was a moment there where we got distracted. And I don't think we responded the right way for the last 8 minutes and 44 seconds. I think we became a little bit too emotional. And there's a fine line. Our game is emotional, and you have to play with emotion. But you can't be too emotional and allow the emotion to make you lose focus. We aren't good enough for that yet. And I stress yet. We will be at some point. But we aren't at that point in our program where we can do that. And so our focus has to be, single-minded. And we can't allow things to knock us off. And I thought, there were a couple of calls there, and there was a foul, there was a technical foul, and from that point on, we didn't play well the last 8:44. When you're playing against a team that's number one in the country, that's really good, and that's old, and Louisville's an old basketball team, all those things have to go right. And a lot went right up to that point, but from that point on, nothing went right.
Jeff, what was the explanation from the officiating crew as the reason for the tech?
The technical foul was on our bench. I think it was our bench was too demonstrative. And that's what I mean when I say it wasn't just the players. It was us. It was us as a staff. It's interesting, man. Like we, after the Rutgers game, after every game when we come back the next day, when we're together as a team, we have feedback. And it could be tape, it could be 5 minutes, it could be longer. And it's what I feel like kind of I come up with different themes, good plays, bad plays, good offense. It could be not screening. It could be game situations. One of the segments that I had after Rutgers, it was interactions, and it was how we act after calls. If you remember, in the Rutgers game, we got called for a technical foul, and it was like a delay of game, this new rule, and it was flopping. And in real time, when it happened, I didn't see it. I saw the technical foul, but I didn't see what the official saw. And my player that it was called on said he didn't do anything. And obviously, tape doesn't lie. So you go back and you watch, and he did kick his leg out. It was a good call. And so that was one of them. But I also showed different things in during the game. A call is made, how, one of the players reacts. Officials trying to tell him something. This is something I've been telling him the whole time. And, it's interesting. I told him a story of my first year at Oklahoma and what happened with our team out there as we were fighting, trying to figure, some things out and how some of the games were officiated, especially towards the end of the year. And it's so interesting that in this game, I thought it was a tough call, especially at that moment. I thought both calls, the foul call and the technical foul, I thought it was tough. But, it's a great official that called it. And we have to be able to move on to the next play. And when I say we, I'm talking about us as a staff, too. And we can't act in the manner in which we acted.
It seems like some of those made-for-TV officials, so to speak, are not being phased out, but they're just aging out of this game now, right? And all the guys look the same now. And Teddy Valentine is – they do. They're buzz cut, and they look like they're all in the Army. but Teddy Valentine is one of those old made-for-TV officials. How has your relationship been with him over the years?
You know, it's been good. It's gotten a lot better. You know, I'll tell you what, there's not another official in a big game, especially on the role that I would rather have. Because he's been around for a while, because he's a veteran, and he's been in so many big games and big moments, he's not afraid. And that's what you want, you know, when you're in a big game. And I think he's a really, really good official. And I have had to learn, as I've gotten older, as I've matured, as I've, evolved, I've gotten, my relationship with him has gotten a lot better. And it's something that I've consciously, to be honest with you, had to work on with a couple of guys because, you know, sometimes you can be distracted. And as a coach, as a leader, you know, you have to be single-minded, you know, in your focus on what you're trying to do, and you can't be distracted. So I have a really good relationship with Teddy.
Did it feel like some of the calls, and I mean, there was a call on Terrell, I thought, a few minutes before the foul and technical sequence that you're talking about, just under 10, where it felt like you guys were being very physical underneath, and it was working to your advantage. Did it feel like that first soft call, at least I'll call it soft, kind of took some of that advantage away from you at that point in time?
Yeah, you know, not really. I mean, I thought we were fighting. I mean, you know, if you look at the game, I think Louisville was averaging close to 80. I think it was like 79 points a game. And, you know, I think they had 64 on us. You know, they were, I think, one of the top teams in the country in field goal percentage. I think it was close to 50%. I think they were 43 against us. And I say that's with them making 9 threes in the first half. I mean, everyone made a three. They averaged 8 made threes a game. And so, you know, it was one of those nights for them offensively in the first half where it seemed like every time they shot it from three, they made it. And, you know, you had guys, man, that were 1 for 8, 4 for 16 that have, you know, maybe made one the whole year. And they stepped up and they made them. And so, even with that, I think it was a 12-point game at halftime, you know, we talked to our guys about, like, look, we're still fine. Like, we have to be better offensively. Now, offensively is where we've struggled all year. But we talked about gradually walking our way back and winning each four-minute segment. And at the end, we'd have game pressure on them. And we did that. Like, we did that up to that point, up to that 844 point. That's when that call was made, and it was a very important play, and it, you know, went against us. Because the other thing that it did was that it gave Audiz his fourth foul, and he was playing really, he's been playing really, really well. And not just, you know, offensively, he made a three, offensive rebound, he had driven it. But the other thing is that he had done a really good job on Jordan Nora, who's a great player, preseason player of the year in our league, averaging about 21 a game. Audiz was doing a very, very good job on him. And so that was his fourth foul at that moment on a bang-bang call. And so we had to sit him. And especially with the way the game was being called, we had to sit him. And, you know, one of the things that was tough for us is that going into that game, we were averaging 22 free throws a game. And we took 6 that game. And so that's tough. That's tough when not much that we did changed as far as how we drive, how we attack. And so one of the things I've talked to our team about is that we have to adjust. We have to adjust to how the game is being called. And that's what the really good teams do.
Couple more minutes with Jeff Capel, Pitt basketball coach. Last week we talked, and you said there's a lack of practice time because the MTE, and it starts all the way back with the Florida State game, and it's just – game after game after game. Now, let's look at the other end of the continuum. How do you deal with a team when you have two games in essentially like 25 days? That's a whole different dynamic now.
Yeah. You know, well, first and foremost, this is a huge week for us because it's academics. It's final exams. And it's why these young men are here, you know, for academics. I know now that may be cliche, but it's the truth. And so we want to give them time to make sure they're prepared. Our hope is that they've been preparing all year. It's not a last-minute thing. That's what I used to do, wait to the last minute. You know, hopefully they're a little bit smarter than that. But then we'll get really good practice time here, you know, in these next few days, next couple of weeks. We played the 16th and we played the 20th, and then we get a break, you know, for Christmas after that, and then we come back and we play one more game. And so, you know, one of the great things about this time, you know, when finals are over, there's nothing else. And so you can do practice at different times if you want to go multiple times a day, if you want to come in and, okay, in the morning all we're going to do is just work on offense, you know, work on different things. You can do that and then come back in the afternoon because these guys don't have any. Once the exams are over with, it's a little bit like, you know, if you're fortunate enough, you become a pro basketball player where it's kind of like that's your job. There's nothing else. And so we have an opportunity over this, you know, like the rest of this month, I think, to really make a jump as a basketball team. Hopefully we use it the right way and we get better.
Did you catch the act real quick before we let you go of the Steeler fans just invading Arizona yesterday, Jeff?
Yeah, it was awesome, man. My son and I were watching, and, you know, right when we turned it on, you know, my son was like, "Daddy, they're here. Why didn't we go?" I was like, "Man, they're in Arizona, but look at this." It was awesome. And what they have done this year is absolutely incredible. Every person in that organization, you know, they never made an excuse. They never put their head down. They just went back to work. And it's a team and a program that believes in what they do. They believe in how they do things. And absolutely incredible, man. I'm so happy for them.
Yeah, it's a great thing. Great time in our city. Jeff, we thank you so very much. We'll talk again next week. Go get them next week, and we'll chat soon.
All right, guys. Appreciate you.
Thanks,
right.
Jeff.
Really, really good stuff, as always. It is. It's a crazy time in college basketball because now these events, to get that that TV window, so many people want that time between Thanksgiving and Christmas because now that's really opened up, you know, because
right.
College football, it doesn't necessarily soften, but you have the weeknights a lot.
Yeah.
And bang, you get those multiple team events and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So you hurry up and you play a bunch of games, especially Thanksgiving week. Then that leaves you the Christmas time
right.
before the conference play, and you could go 25 days and play two games.
That's it. And it's not like they're stacking up big-time opponents.
Right.
It's Binghamton and what? Like Northern Illinois?
Northern Illinois, yeah.
Yeah, so you got to try and stay sharp.
It is. It's a really and then when you get back into it, it's for real.
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
things
the games
start up legit.
Are really big.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.